Hardeep Singh Kalika has examined how people across the United States react to mass shootings. 7 years ago, a white supremacist invaded a Sikh religious center in Wisconsin and killed 6 people, including Kalika's father. His father died holding a knife he had tried to use in an attempt to stop the shooter. Now, whenever a gunman attacks another U.S. city or town, Kalika leaves a supportive message on social media. Then he will travel to the affected community to help others face the pain he shares. Kalika has been to Newtown, Connecticut, where a gunman killed 26 people at Sandy Hook Elementary School in 2012. Kalika also has visited other communities affected by violence. "We've become kind of a family," he told the Associated Press. The number of U.S. mass shootings has increased in recent years. The most recent attack happened last Friday, when a gunman killed 12 people in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
As a result of the shootings, a community of heartbreak has formed, touching and changing the lives of thousands of people. The attacks have also changed how Americans talk about and prepare for such danger. Today, the terms active shooter and shelter in place need no explanation. More schools are holding exercises to prepare students for the possibility of a shooter. And even some religious centers now have armed guards. Post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD, was once largely linked with soldiers who had terrible memories of violent battles. Now, some U.S. police officers and firefighters affected by the violence they have seen are seeking treatment. Healing centers have opened to offer survivors therapy and a place to gather. Support groups of survivors of mass shootings have formed. Government officials, doctors, police, and other leaders who have experienced these crises are also doing what they can to help. Many offer support and guidance to the next town that has to deal with a mass shooting.
Stephen Scafidi had been mayor of Oak Creek, Wisconsin, for just 4 months at the time of the Sikh religious center attack in 2012. He remembers the call that night from the mayor of Aurora, Colorado, where 12 people had been shot and killed at a movie theater less than 3 weeks earlier. Scafidi said, "He gave me the best advice I could ever receive in that moment. Be calm, reassure your community, and only speak to what you know. Don't pretend to be an expert on something that you're not." Last year, a shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida, resulted in the deaths of 17 people. 2 days later, Parkland Mayor Christine Hunshofsky met with the mother of a 6-year-old killed by a gunman in 2012. The woman offered the mayor advice about the future. 3 months later, it was Hunchovsky's turn. She sent a message to the incoming mayor of Santa Fe, Texas, where a school shooting had left 10 dead. "She told me this is not going to be the hardest day, and harder days are coming," recalled Santa Fe Mayor Jason Tabor. "Prepare for that." She was 100% right. Mass shootings represent a small percentage of all killings nationwide, but the magnitude or size of their effect sets them apart. In 1999, the Columbine, Colorado shooting shocked Americans with its unforgettable images of students fleeing from their high school. Today, the public sees and hears about these events as they take place through live video feeds on social media. Jacqueline Schildkraut is an expert on crime. She says Americans no longer see mass shootings as unusual events. We really don't have a consistent, prolonged conversation about these events and how to prevent them, she said. Schildkraut is with the State University of New York at Oswego.
Studies have offered suggestions about the emotional effect of mass shootings. The National Center for PTSD estimates that 28% of people who have witnessed a mass shooting develop the condition. About a third develop acute stress disorder. Laura Wilson is an assistant professor at the University of Mary Washington in Virginia. She examined information from 11 studies of PTSD symptoms among more than 8,000 people. Wilson said, "Mass shootings are a different type of trauma. Most people have a hard time reconciling the idea that a young, innocent person made the good decision to go to school, was sitting there, learning, and was murdered. That does not make sense to us. And yet, some people do not fully understand the lasting emotional wounds of those who escaped physical harm." Stephen Benning is a psychology professor at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He led a PTSD study of survivors of the 2017 Las Vegas mass shooting that left 58 people dead. Most of the survivors told Benning they had a friend, family member, or coworker ask them why they were still troubled as early as 45 days after the attack. Almost everyone had someone say, "Get over it. Why are you letting this bother you?" Benning said.
In March of 2019, two student survivors of the Parkland school shooting killed themselves. Around the same time, the father of a 6-year-old girl killed in Newtown died of what appeared to be suicide. He had set up an organization in his daughter's name to support research on violence prevention. Christine Hunshofsky says that after the Parkland suicides, many people sought mental health help for the first time. The community's wellness center, established after the attack, extended its hours. A similar program, the Resiliency Center of Newtown, is a gathering place for those dealing with anxiety, depression, and PTSD. Although the school attack happened over 6 years ago, the center still gets new visitors, and after every mass shooting, more people stop by. Stephanie Sink leads the center. She said, "You don't just get over it and move on. Your heart hurts every time a new tragedy happens." She added, "You know what those people are going to have to go through and what the community is going to go through. And that's hard." I'm Katie Weaver.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.